All right, Meat Mafia, welcome back to another episode of the one and only Meat Mafia podcast. On today's episode, we are talking about food journals. And Salazzo and I did a long-form episode. We haven't done one in a while, so we might have been a little rusty, so bear with us. We talk about food journals, and we talk about exactly how to implement them into your daily routine so you build a better intuition around the food you're eating. This one was a quick hitter, only 30 minutes. Hopefully it gives you some actionable pieces of advice to implement into your daily routine. We're gonna start posting some of these episodes that are a little bit shorter so you guys can get a little bit more bang for your buck. All right, sit back and enjoy this one. All right, Meat Mafia, I hate ads just as much as you do, so I'm gonna make this quick. We have three affiliate links in the description below, all for three products that we use regularly. The first is Element Electrolyte Mix, next Kettle and Fire Bone Broth, and then Faro Skincare. All three great resources for people who are going low carb or keto or want to live a more animal-based lifestyle. Go check them out and let us know what you think. All right, Salazzo. What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? I'm glad that we're doing this. We were just talking and we haven't done a solo episode in a while. We've obviously had an amazing lineup of guests. I think you just posted we're 75 episodes deep in less than 3 months. So, you know, we feel really good about the volume that we've been having, but we want to make sure that we spend some time to just, you know, talk through health topics that we're both interested in and things that we've been experimenting with. So I'm glad that we're doing this, bro.
Yeah, I think it's good for the listeners to know that we're going to be incorporating some of our own stuff in here too. Just probably shorter podcasts that are a little bit more actionable, things that we take away from our other guests that we can bring to the table and really start to hammer home some actionable advice for people to start utilizing in their own day to day, because that's what we're all about, right? Like, we want people to be using these tools, these ideas to actually transform that the way they're viewing their health, the way that they're actually being. So I think that this is a great way for us to do that. So I know we wanted to dive into food journals. I love this topic. I think it's one of those things that's so underutilized by a lot of people, and I know you've used it to great success. I'm curious, when we bring up the topic of food journals, who are you thinking about? Is it like the person who's trying to go from zero to one? Is it the guys like you and me who are like a little bit further along on the journey? Like, who can benefit from this type of thing?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think with us, right, we always will say, it's like, look, we don't have medical degrees. We don't have nutritional degrees. We're just rapid experimenters, and we've been experimenting and trying out different nutritional strategies for over a decade, honestly, like through our background in competitive athletics. But when I think about the concept of a food journal, we think that it's a useful tool for anyone of all levels. Like, if you're someone that's listening to this that really wants to clean up your diet, this is an amazing way just to start to track the inputs of what you're eating day in and day out. And you'll start to notice patterns. Maybe you're eating too much sugar. Maybe you're eating too many refined grains. Maybe you're just eating too many calories in general to be able to get to those like slimmer weight loss goals that you have. Maybe you're someone that's doing really well. You're lifting a lot of weights. You're doing endurance events, but maybe your gut doesn't feel optimized. Or your digestion doesn't feel optimized. A food journal is an amazing tool just to start to figure out a little bit more, okay, well, maybe what inputs are causing you to have GI distress. You know, maybe you're someone that wants to get a 1% better. Maybe you're animal-based. You're trying to figure out if fruit, honey, what carbs fit with your stomach. I think basically I'm kind of rambling a bit, but it's like, it's a great tool for everyone of all levels, which is why we like it. I know you helped leverage it. You lost 20 to 30 pounds in the middle of COVID. I used a food journal when I was healing myself from ulcerative colitis. But it's very underrated because you're just putting pen on paper and tracking your inputs. I mean, it's a little bit more complicated than that, but I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think the benefit for me that I noticed was it creates that consciousness around food where you start to develop the equation of the inputs output. So you say, okay, what am I putting in my body and how is it making me feel? That's generally like how we think about this. It's like, if you were to just start a food journal, draw a line down the middle of the page, and on one side, you just write down what you eat. And on the other side, you just write down how you're feeling after you eat. And you'll, I think it perfectly, as you said, like you'll pick up on those trends in your dietary habits where maybe you thought that you were getting enough protein, but you're actually undershooting by like 50 grams. And like that could be enough to make a significant difference in your satiety, your weight loss goals, your muscle building goals. And I think generally too, like everyone has these different goals, right? Like you and I aren't necessarily focused on anything weight loss related, but yeah. We are focused on performance, body composition, building muscle, longevity. So even for us, just being able to write down and develop a form of intuition around food, you and I probably get a little bit comfortable with this stuff where we aren't keeping a food journal regularly. I know you do because you obviously have the background with the autoimmune issue, but like for me, I'm not doing it as religiously as I used to when I had this very targeted goal of like dropping 20 pounds. And I do think that I could still be incorporating it 100%, but I've built up this intuition through doing it over a period of time where I do have that a little bit better of a feel around what I'm eating. So I think that for people who are just starting off, this is an amazing tool, but even as we said, anyone could and should be using this.
Yeah, it's spot on. And I think something that you hit it on is like, what we should mention is that as we're diving deeper into this world, we're changing our tune. We've changed our tune a bit in that we're still massive advocates of an animal-based lifestyle because that's just worked really well for you and I anecdotally. But one noticeable way that we have changed our tune is we're trying to do less finger wagging and more so say, look, this is what we do that's worked really well, but it's also up to you, right? We our whole thing is like, we want to shift you away from big food, get you to meat, fruits, vegetables, honey, eggs, you know, unpasteurized raw dairy, real food. And it's up to you to determine what ratios make the most sense, right? There's some people that eat almost all red meat, ruminant protein. We definitely fall into that camp. Maybe we'll mix in some fruit, some honey, some rice. There's some people that don't eat as much red meat. They have more of like a Mediterranean diet where they eat a lot of salmon and fatty fish, getting in those omega-3s. There's some people that eat a lot more fruit. There's some people that are more plant-based. It's not up to us to tell you exactly what to do, but it is up to us to tell you to experiment and figure out what makes the most sense for your body. And that's why the food journal is such a great tool, because it really comes down to pattern recognition. And if you can track what you're eating for 2 weeks, I can pretty much guarantee you, you're going to notice some patterns on food groups that work really well for you, timing of your meals that work well. And you're also going to notice some things that don't work really well. Like I know for a lot of people, cruciferous green vegetables like broccoli, kale, sprouts, things like that, don't sit particularly well in people's stomachs. But when they adopt a ketogenic or a paleo diet, they're eating a lot of meat and vegetables. But we're finding out now that because of like the defense chemicals, the leptins, things like that, they don't necessarily sit the best in people's stomach. They might get gassy. They might have to go to the bathroom. And I found that just from food journaling, I was like, oh shit, I feel good because I'm eating steak. I'm not eating the processed crap that I was eating. But when I am eating these, like I used to eat a shitload of broccoli and just like saute it in a pan, it tasted delicious, but it didn't sit well with my stomach. So now I've really cut out those green vegetables at that point to optimize for that digestion.
Yeah.
Are there any foods for you that you've kind of cut out through the food journaling or tweaked around?
I would say like protein intake is one. And I think maybe before I dive into that, just like a step back, I think the framework that we're talking about is really interesting because neither of us have talked about calorie restriction when it comes to a food journal or tracking calories, which when it comes to a food journal, I think you and I believe that you should be focusing on what you're eating, not necessarily the macro or the calorie amount that you're eating. It's important if you're a bodybuilder, if you're really like focused on like the fine tuning aspects of building a physique, maybe you start tracking calories. But it's my belief that if you're eating high quality foods and real foods and tracking those, you're going to build that intuition, which is more what we're focused on, is building that intuition with like what foods sit well with you and what foods don't. So I think like steering away from like that whole like calorie mindset and focus more towards satiety, gut health, brain fog, sleep quality, yes. All these things that you can track through a food journal, very, very much like these aren't things that you need to like add up numbers and come to like a 2200 calories per day type of thing. It's really just focus on the foods you're eating and then how your body's reacting to those. That whole framework will help you in the long run if you're trying to make this a lifestyle, to just being healthier, feeling better, which I think is what the end goal should be for most people. You know, everyone has this idea in their head when they start this food journey. Yo, I want a six pack. I want all these like vain results based on vanity, which is like totally fine. But at the end of the day, you should be focusing and targeting towards optimizing on how you feel and the energy levels that you're able to get out of your food sources, and not just, hey, I've got a six pack. Because there are plenty of people out there who have six packs who are walking around miserable every day because they don't have enough energy to go do all the stuff they want to do.
It's such a good point. And I think that we both can confidently say that the moment that we made the shift from a calorie is a calorie, calories in, calories out, you know, macros, protein, carbs, fat, and we shifted to how do we load our body with the most nutrient dense foods possible, optimizing for that. We both just noted massive differences, not just on like the vanity quality, which will naturally happen. Your body, your muscle responds so well to these foods, but your overall mood, the quality of sleep that you have, the energy day in and day out, feeling like you're actually deriving energy from the food that you're eating, as opposed to feeling like you need to pass out under your desk. And that's why the pattern recognition of the food journal is so important, because it literally lets you say, okay, I ate this at this time, and this is how I felt. Maybe I had to go to the bathroom right after, or maybe my digestion didn't feel great, or maybe it did feel great. And then you're able to start to craft this lifestyle and these food groups and the timing of your meals in such a way that is like the most optimal for you and the person you are and the lifestyle that you're living.
Yeah, 100%. And I think if there is one number to track, it's not stepping on the scale and weighing yourself every day and watching the number go down, even though that's a great thing. It's for me, it would be protein intake. And I think it's an easy number to track. And most people should be shooting for 1 gram of protein per body weight, per pound of body weight. And I think that if you focus on that metric, the calorie stuff just takes care of itself. Like if you're eating enough protein, you're not going to be jonesing for all the sugary stuff. Like, I mean, you might, but in more times than not, you're going to be eating foods that are satiating you, helping you feel full throughout the day, giving the body what it needs in terms of protein to build muscle, to fulfill all those body functions that protein is basically the bedrock for. And I think when you're eating higher protein, you're also likely eating more fat in the diet too, which I think also helps balance out those sugar cravings, which are tough to overcome, but I think you do it by focusing on the protein and fat intake.
It's such a good point. And when you start to focus on that protein and fat intake, you realize that the body's appetite, it really just starts to regulate itself. And that's part of the issue with this standard American diet, is that because it's based on these hyper palatable foods that are loaded with sugar, refined carbs, et cetera, you feel like you kind of need this constant drip and you're never fully satiated, right? It's like you could eat a full bag of chips, which could be 2000 calories. You're deriving no nutrients from that at all. And your body is still starving, which is its indication that it's not giving you what it wants. Whereas like, you know, if you're hungry, maybe you make half a pound of steak and 2 eggs, right? Which is something that you and I will do pretty regularly.
100%.
And it's like, right, it's like loading you up with that protein, the fat, all the iron, the copper, the selenium that's coming from the red meat, all the, you know, all the good micronutrients that are coming from the eggs, the cholesterol, and you feel satiated and you maybe don't need to eat for 4 to 5 hours, and it just regulates your appetite. And then when you start to notice those feelings again, you know, you cook something kind of intuitively. It's just a very, it's just a natural approach to feed your body with the stuff that it's looking for.
Yeah. And I think there's a detachment point too, that we've both hit, where you start doing this stuff long enough, you start focusing on writing down your food journal, how it's making you feel. You get to a point where you do feel comfortable just focusing on like giving your body what it's like. It sounds so woo woo. Like if you had told me I would be talking this way 3 years ago, I would have been like, dude, like you should probably be tracking calories. You should probably be doing this and that, but your body will, like, I basically almost eat 1 to 2 meals a day around the same time, just because it's like the flow that I've developed over a long period of time by doing this food journaling and stuff, where I eat when I'm hungry. It's and my body just regulates itself. And it's not one of these things where I'm focused on eating three or five meals a day. I eat when my body is ready to be fueled. And I center a lot of that around workouts too. Like, I think there's something to be said about getting good fuel in before you go lift. And I've also been someone who has lifted fasted, and that's worked well for me at times too. But I try to like definitely eat around when I work out. That's one of the things that I developed through the food journaling. It's like my body is craving those nutrients after I work out, so I'm always cognizant of that stuff. But yeah, I think keeping a food log and an activity log is something that everyone should be doing as they start to embark on this journey. It's 100% worth every ounce of effort.
Spot on. Should we dig into just how to actually keep a food journal and what that looks like?
100%. I mean, I talked about how I do it. I mean, I try to just keep it as simple as possible.
Simple.
For me, it's a line down the middle of the page. On the left side, I'm writing down what I eat, the time I eat, and how much protein is associated with those meals.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the right side, it's usually something around digestion or energy levels. Like, and honestly, I try to keep it as if someone read my food journal, they would think I was a third grader, but it's like, write down like like 3 to 5 words that express how you're feeling and like, you know, high energy, ready to go for a workout, like keep it simple. I mean, it doesn't need to be like this long essay format that you're writing. And sometimes it will be, sometimes you're like, ate this meal, threw me totally off my game, didn't have the same focus or, like cognitive energy that I had previously. And that's worth noting down too. But, you know, I think that keeping it simple on that right-hand side, at least to start, just like getting the flow of the habit. And then you can start building out more of like this deep understanding of how your body's reacting to the food as you get into it.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Like you said, on the left side, the exact foods that you're eating, your drinks, your beverages, like getting that granular with it, the time that you actually ate those meals. And on the right side, so it's like the left side, you're going through live and writing all that down. And then there is a little bit of diligence for the right side for like maybe the next couple hours, just quickly jotting down, like you said, were you energized? Were you bloated? Did you cramp at all? Did you have to go to the bathroom? Like, did you feel like you wanted to work out afterwards? Like just write all that stuff on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
And that just helps with the actual pattern recognition. And if there's someone that's listening to this that really wants to dial this in, you know, doing this diligently for 2 weeks is going to tell you everything that you need to know about the foods that you're eating. And you'll start to notice the days that you felt your best and how you were actually structuring that. The only other caveat that I would add is just for me, right, dealing with autoimmune issues, I also want to know the number of times that I'm going to the bathroom, because typically, right, it's like if I'm flared up and I'm going to the bathroom more than 3 times a day, that's probably a sign that I'm not eating foods that are agreeing with my stomach. So you can either write down on the right-hand side if you had a bowel movement or not, or you could even like at the top, like sometimes I'll literally just write down like the number of times I have to go to the bathroom. So like one of the things I noticed is that when we did that 2-week carnivore challenge, probably 2 months ago, I instantly noticed that like my urgency and like need to go to the bathroom went down right away. And that was just a good proof of concept of like when I eat animal products, my stomach just, my digestive health, my gut health, it just really does feel optimized.
Yeah. And gut health is one of those things too, where people think that they need to be having like multiple bowel movements a day. I feel like when I'm feeling my best, my body's intaking all the nutrients that I'm giving it. So I'm actually having fewer bowel movements, but when I'm looking in the toilet bowl, it's like, you know, healthy, normal bowel movements. Right. I think it's probably one of those topics that people don't want to talk about, but writing a food journal is definitely worth it. Another thing to mention here too, I think like the left-hand side should really be like, what am I eating? The right-hand side, how am I feeling? Like put that at the top of the page, line down the middle, and then go from there. Like let that simple approach just be the framework that guides you through the first few weeks. And then as you want to peel it back more, you start getting a little more granular with it. I think that's the right approach.
I love that. Yeah. What am I eating on the left-hand side? Right-hand side is how am I feeling? And look, like we always say, there's 1,000 different ways to skin the cat. If you just type in food journal templates or just food journals on Google Images, there are a ton of different approaches out there. There's literally food journals that you could buy off Amazon. You know, I've done it in Notion before where I've just created my own, but like, I also just like pen to paper old school. And I like the technique that you laid out of just, you know, line in the sand. What am I eating on the left side? How am I feeling on the right side?
Yeah.
And do that for 2 weeks and just, you'll go back and look at the data and you'll start to really notice patterns in your food.
Yeah. Another thing I'd mention too is when you're doing this, I would take a picture of every meal that you eat, because there will be times when you don't have your pen and paper around, or you just want to sit down at the end of the day and write all this stuff down. Take a picture of the meal that you ate. It'll keep a log in your phone.
Yep.
Make it way easier. I love the pen and paper approach too. I'm always just trying to keep it, you know, keep it simple and not rely on like an app for this type of thing. Cause you know, as soon as you download the, like these apps that track your meals, they're trying to get you to count every calorie. It's a process. It's tough to stick with. If you just have it on a piece of paper, it doesn't get any easier than that. And all you're really trying to do at the end of the day is build a habit around this intuition around eating. So don't overcomplicate it. The apps, in my opinion, definitely overcomplicate it. Like, there's a lot more that goes into that. As soon as there's an app where you can take a picture of the phone and it, you know, shows you everything that you need in terms of calories or in terms of like protein intake and things like that, fine. Maybe one day I'll do that. But I think the pen and paper is the best approach.
Yeah, it's definitely the path of least resistance. And, you know, there is a level of diligence with this, especially in the beginning. It's like, you do want to be methodical. And like, I've just found that, you know, when you're eating something, just write it down right away. Don't wait. Like, there are so many times where I put it off in the past and then I'm like, oh shit, like how much did I eat again? Oh, did I, or like, if I'm trying to recall from yesterday or 2 days prior, it's very hard. And if you're trying to do this for 2 weeks, right, you want the most accurate data, you want the most accurate representation of what you're eating. So the simplest way to do that is like, as soon as you cook your meal, just write down exactly what you ate on the left-hand side. And then, you know, the next hour, 2 hours or so, just get in there and pop in how you felt. And then, you know, it's going to be a fantastic tool for you.
Yeah. 100%. The other thing I would say too, just as like a shameless plug, like we've affiliated with Element and Kettle on Fire. And I think that as two people have used those products a ton, as we've gone through these different health transformations, like we're not affiliating with people that we're not using these products regularly. Like we're talking to a direct consumer meat company that we're hoping to affiliate with that we've used in the past. That would be a great resource for, you know, us. Like if it's not a part of our day-to-day life, we're not going to be promoting it. But if you are someone who's listening to this, I'm assuming you're probably interested in animal-based, interested in low carb. I think the Elements are great for someone who's just trying to get their sodium levels a little higher, because when you go low carb, you have a harder time retaining some of that water, and a little bit of sodium helps people who are a little bit more active keep those sodium levels up as you go low carb. So it's a great little bridge product. And I think the bone broth does the same thing. So for me, it's like, these are two products that we're pumped to affiliate with because one, we've used them for years, and two, they fix a lot of these little bridgey like issues that come up when you start to go low carb or start to go more animal based. They're great little on-ramps and off-ramps to this dieting. So that's why, you know, we're excited to work with them and why I'm shamelessly plugging them right now.
No, it's a good shameless plug. And I think too, we've both spent a lot of time speaking, like when the recording button is off, about like, who do we ultimately want to be? What do we want to turn this food movement into? And, you know, for us, like, as we think about wanting to, you know, to fuel our goals, we want to be associated with products that we both used for years that have helped us get to the point where we are now. Like, I know for me, when I was coming back from ulcerative colitis, I remember doing a lot of research into the bone broth space and how nourishing it is for your gut health, your gut microbiome, the effects of having like a good injection of good collagen from dietary sources. And even to this day, like, I noticed that if I ever go off my diet, I'll probably pay the price for like 24 to 48 hours. And yeah, if I just simmer like a few cups of bone broth, and maybe I'll throw some butter in, maybe I'll throw some salt for additional electrolytes, my gut instantly will start to feel better. It's almost like, I hate to call things a cheat code, but that's literally how it's felt for 2 years since I started implementing bone broth, to the point where I'm like, if I'm really diligent about this stuff, like I really should be drinking bone broth before I have my morning coffee because it feels that good on the stomach.
Yeah, 100%. And as like an alternative to these two products that we believe in and support, I'll include in the show notes a link to a bone broth recipe that I've used and made in the past. That is, it's not free, but like, if you don't want to buy a bone broth from the store, you can go buy bones, easily make your own bone broth. It's great quality. Like that's what I tend to do. I'm probably 50-50 in terms of, like, I like the convenience of being able to grab a bone broth and have it like in my shelf just in case I don't have the time to make it. But when I do have the time to make bone broth, I love relying on my homemade source too. So I'll provide that too in the show notes, just so people can, if they want to experiment making their own and doing that. And then also like the alternative to the Elements would be just throwing some Redmond Real Salt or some other salt product into some of your drinks throughout the day. It's not going to be I like the Elements because they're so convenient and I can throw them in my water bottle if I'm going on a bike ride or a run. Like I just find the product to be incredibly convenient and also it tastes great. I know like I'm not huge on the flavorings, but I think that Element is one of those companies where I compromise on having, you know, incorporating some of the flavorings in because I know that it's like a high quality company. They're doing things the right way. And also you do need to compromise sometimes on convenience. So that's definitely one of the compromises that I make.
Yeah. I mean, before I ever used Element, when I first really started going down the low carb rabbit hole in 2019, Rob Wolf, who's the founder, co-creator of Element, he used to have an article for basically like low carb Gatorade that he published with Keto Gains. And it gave you the whole recipe where you would take a gallon of water, mix in sea salt, potassium, lemon juice, fresh lime juice, stevia, et cetera, and basically made like a healthier version of Gatorade. You know, now here we are a few years later and he ultimately ends up turning that into Element, but you know, you're spot on. Like even like with travel, right? You get really dehydrated when you're, I'm on planes a good amount for work too. Like I always throw a couple Elements in there. And I also think one of the really good proof of concepts for us was when we were training for Ironman Waco and actually doing the race, like you and I had cramped on every single half Ironman that we had done up to that point. Yeah. And we were doing two element packs in our water per hour, which is like 2000 milligrams of sodium, which is a good amount, but we're both salty sweaters and neither of us cramped once in the race. Over you did a race in 1330. I did it in 14 hours. So it's pretty unheard of. And we were both surprised. That's why it's like, we passionately endorse things like this because it's like we've literally used this for years and it's worked incredibly well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like when we're talking about it too, the travel part of all this whole thing, it plays a big factor. Like if you're someone who's not just centered on their home base at all time, you do need those convenient fixes to help you as you're trying to make this a lifestyle, right? Like it's much easier to be walking through an airport with some Element in your back pocket that you can throw in a water as opposed to not having the Element and then feeling those like low sodium levels resulting in you getting hungrier and going and buying the bag of chips. And then that's fixing your salt craving instead of just a pure little salt source like Element. So that's where these topics get a little bit more nuanced than just like, hey, here's the black and white arguments of like, yes, you can do it 100% the purest way of like, you know, salt, lime juice, lemon juice in the water. That's freaking perfect if you can do that. Yep. But there's obviously those times when you do need the convenient source.
100%. Yeah. And I think it's important too, like when you are keeping your food journal, like you should be getting as granular as to like understand how much sodium that you're having. So in the morning for me, I'll take an Element pack into a big glass of water. I bang it, just chug it right down. Sometimes I'll have one in the middle of the day. Sometimes I'll have one if I'm going to the sauna. I like to just keep track of that because I want to know, hey, is there a correlation between the amount of sodium that I'm getting and just my general level of fatigue, energy, et cetera. And also like if I'm drinking a lot of bone broth, I want to know when I'm drinking it, what time am I drinking it, and how does my gut feel after I'm drinking it as well to see if there's a tangible effect there. So
yeah,
just two things to keep in mind. But I think to put a bow into this conversation, what we're talking about, I think it comes down to keep it very simple. I think 2 weeks is an ideal time frame to really get some good data to understand what you're eating and how you feel. You summed it up best. Left side, what you're eating, when you're eating it. And on the right side, how are you actually feeling? Be very diligent. Write down your meals right as you're having them. Take the next few hours to get the right side of the food journal. And you're going to iterate and tinker over time. And you're going to figure out what makes the most sense for you. But the ultimate purpose of you doing the food journal is like intentionally being very methodical. So you can figure out what foods sit really well, what foods don't sit really well. And the foods that sit really well, it's going to build that intuitive sense of eating so that as time goes on, you're not even going to need a food journal. You're just going to instinctively know what your body needs and what you're going to fuel it with to feel your best.
I love it. I love it. I don't want to untie the bow, but I'm going to add one thing.
Yes.
keeping a food journal, I think it's really important. Like I've been there. You have to throw shame out the window and you have to just be honest with yourself. Like if you have that cheat meal, write it down. If you have that, those Oreos, those Doritos, write it down. Don't feel bad about it. It's part of the process. Like it's not all about talking about these healthy foods that you're eating and how good they're making you feel. It's also about the crap food that you're potentially eating and how bad they're making you feel. So be honest with yourself. Don't feel bad about it. It's part of the process. If you stick to the 2 weeks of just no expectations, just eating the way you're eating and writing it down, you'll start to develop a better narrative around the foods you're eating and a better just eye for, okay, I'm about to go pick up this bag of Doritos. And I know after I pick up this bag of Doritos, I'm going to feel like shit because I've been keeping a food journal. So
that's the perfect nugget to like ultimately tie the bow on the conversation, is that like true honesty and accountability is massive. And if you're going to take the time to do the food journal for a couple of weeks, do not shame yourself. Take the morality out of it. All we're trying to do is get better and improve. And if that means that you had 3 bags of Doritos the first day that you started this, like write out that you had 3 bags of Doritos, right? Like my birthday is tomorrow. One of my good friends sent me Levain Cookies, which is the best cookie place of all time. It's in New York City. And she sent me a box. I'm like, of course, I absolutely smashed one yesterday. I actually smashed 1.5 Levain cookies, if we're being honest. But like, if I'm keeping a food journal, I'm writing that out because it's just the truth. There's no, it's like, there's no morality. There's no shame. It's like, I had a cookie and I'm going to get back on the horse today, but you have to be honest about what you're doing.
100%. And I think that was the catalyst for a lot of the change for me when I started to really sink my feet into the ground, when I was like, okay, I need to start making some changes around my diet. It was writing out the shit food that actually had the biggest impact, because it kept me accountable and saying, okay, got to be honest with yourself before you're honest with anyone else. What are you eating? How is it affecting you? And from there, you start to develop a little bit of a better like self-confidence too, where it's like, okay, like I had a freaking bag of Doritos. Like, don't shame yourself. Like, it's only a part of a bigger equation. Like, if that only makes up 1% of the food that you eat over the course of a year, or less than 1%, it's not going to have that big of an effect, right? So 100%. I think just thinking about things that way is really a healthy mindset and healthy approach to the whole thing.
Yeah, let's play the numbers here. If you're eating 14 to 21 meals a day, depending on your frequency, and you're having a cookie every couple of days, and you're having some ice cream every once in a while, you're still going to be really healthy. So don't let perfection get in the way of like just that continual progress. And that's what we think a food journal is here to do. So let us know if you like this format. We want to try and do some more shorter bits like this, some really good digestible nuggets to like build these sustainable health principles. And if anyone has any questions, our DMs are both open at Carney Clemenza and at Mr. Salazzo. So just shoot us a message on Twitter and we'll get back to you ASAP.
Beautiful, brother. You tied that bow perfectly.
Love it, man. Great stuff.
Talk soon, bro.
All right. See you, man. Bye.